Now it's time for Open Journal's Community Spotlight here on KPFT Houston.
We love stories. Fun stories, those that smack of gossip and rumor. Even children's stories that create magical images of innocence for our children. But you know, some stories, especially personal ones, are difficult to tell because the content makes it challenging to tell or uncomfortable to hear. Now this brings us to this morning's theme, being peeled away, a story of human vulnerability on Storytime on KPFT's Open Journal. Good morning. I'm your host, Dr. Hank Rubichek, professor of communication studies at the University of Houston downtown. You know, over the years on Storytime, tellers have told tales about personal obstacles, illness, loss, despair, ecstasy, and everything in between. Narratives that are nothing less than intoxicating. Each revealing something about one's vulnerability, that internal possession that strengthens, not weakens, the human soul. My guest knows about this all too well. Susan Blair is an actress, dancer, and fledgling writer who has degrees in architecture and modern dance from the University of North Carolina at Charlotte and continued her modern dance training at North Carolina School of the Arts. Her choreography, in fact, has been seen at Diverse Works, Miller Outdoor Theater, the Jewish Community Center of Houston, and the Grand Ole Opera House in Galveston, just to name a few. While teaching Pilates, which she does on Tuesdays, I guess, I don't know where else she'd fit that in, Susan met New York Times best-selling author Carlene Cohen and rustled up enough courage to ask her to serve as her writing mentor. It is with that endorsement and Susan's startling vision about her own vulnerability that brings her to us this morning. Good morning, Susan. How are you?
Hi, Hank. I'm great. I'm happy to be here.
I'm happy to have you here. I know you're a little bit nervous because you haven't done here this before, but we're going to do everything we can to make you even more of a wreck within moments, I promise. You're going to be great. Listen, I've always believed that people are really onions at heart. They're sort of conceived as a series of layers. Each one have to be peeled away gradually. But you know, certain stories peel the outer layer quite quickly and gets into the human core. I find that your stories do that, and your first story does this particularly well. I know the title is Getting Off the Dime. Where did that title come from?
Well, Hank, the story came first. The story was an assignment in a writing class called Writing the Road Less Traveled, and it was the answer to two questions given to us as a prompt, and it's about moving forward, so the title came as a result of that.
A homework assignment gone well.
I hope so.
Let's hear it.
All right, here we go. I'm standing in the mountain woods, deep, alone, and it's moist and cool and it's springtime. Baby buds, new bark, form a ceiling over my head, and crocuses push dark dirt up around my feet in National Geographic slow motion. Curly ferns, touch-me-nots, moss, fairies are everywhere. I haven't talked with the fairies for a very long time. They live in the moss, you know. They do. There's a large river rock next to the path near my right foot, and it is thick with mossy green moss, a whole country village of fairies. They are standing still and quiet, the fairies, looking at me. Thousands of them on their moss green verandas, balconies, porches. The only thing I hear is a soft melody that I don't recognize, probably made by all those tiny little fairy wings that are vibrating in the soft Appalachian breeze. Just ahead, I see a choice in the path, a fork. Now, it's important for you to know that I do not have a very good sense of direction. Matter of fact, I've been told over and over again, go left when you think you should go right and you'll get there. I say softly, and I wonder now if that's very good advice, and I feel unsure. I am deep in these woods, and I'm lonely. So I take a small step forward to place my feet and my gaze and my shoulders squarely at the fork of that crossroads, 1 foot pointing down the path to the right, 1 foot pointing left. I listen to the fairy song, and I have the faintest childhood memory of that tune. But I'm frozen, paralyzed with too much tenderness and too much fear. A little voice speaks from a small fairy porch near the edge of the mossland, near the rock's steep ridge. What do you want to stop experiencing in your life? The voice asks. This, I say, this stuckness. I want to stop experiencing stuck. I want to stop standing still. Well, nearly anyway. I do shift every now and then from side to side, from one foot to the other, one foot in, one foot out, one foot on the right path, one foot on the left. Go on, comes back the fairy's voice. I want to hang out with Tracy Chapman and retrieve my soul, I say. I want to stop experiencing afraid, afraid to try, afraid of my shadow, afraid to fail, afraid to go, afraid to decide. I want to go back to school, to Hogwarts, and learn the debilitating, fear-stopping magic mantra that dissipates my shape-shifting fears on the spot. I want to shout, ridiculous, ridiculous, and wave my arms and watch the gray-black dust of fear poof and vanish before my eyes. I want to stop experiencing hearing myself say, I don't know, because I do know. Like the little tune you fairies are singing, somewhere back there, I do know. I want to dig up my intuition and dust it off. I want to carry it close to my heart in a teeny tiny tin box, decoupaged with courage. It will ever be at my ready. I want to choose the path I want to choose. I know I'll walk and stumble, get up, get bruised, dance, cry, and do it all again. But I want to stop living in fear and analysis, guilt, and shoulds. Then I hear another little voice very near my left ear, a smaller, younger fairy whispering by. She says, tell me more about how you want to live. I want to live with passion and make wild monkey love with someone who wants the same. I want to laugh all my laughter and cry all my tears. I want to tell the truth. I want to live authentically. I want to come back to myself. And I want the red boots I tried on in Paris in February. Suddenly I hear the thunderous clap of tiny little hands, and then the most beautiful banner lifts up from the mossy moss. It reads, you may not know this, but fairies always pick up where parents left off.
Thank you, Susan. That was beautiful. We all see that you wore those red boots.
Okay. Yes.
Yeah. And I want to talk about some of this imagery. This was really a beautiful, beautiful story. I've heard it before, but just like all good stories, there is so much more we hear the second and third time around. And I want to talk about that in just a moment. You are listening to A Story of Human Vulnerability on Storytime on KPFT's Open Journal with storyteller Susan Blair and me, your host, Hank Rubicek. Susan, you are talking about National Geographic Slow. What does that mean, National Geographic Slow?
Well, I grew up seeing the National Geographic shows where they slow down the way a flower blooms. Mm-hmm. And I really think that's kind of the way I am opening up as a writer. Mm-hmm. It feels like slow motion, and I want to be present to every moment of it. And I think in that story it talks about the stuckness.
Yeah.
So feeling stuck, it's as if everything is in slow motion because I'm trying to get off the dime.
Right. And by stuck, you're not suggesting that it isn't a good idea to cherish the moment. You're talking about the importance of evolving.
Yes, absolutely. And of trusting my intuition and everyone trusting theirs to move forward in the direction that's important for them to go.
And you made reference to not having a good sense of direction.
And that is so true.
Yeah.
I truly get lost often.
Yeah, me too. I gave General Custer his directions. Does that tell you anything? Yeah. Susan, one of my favorite books about storytelling is Inviting the Wolf In by Lauren Niemi and Elizabeth Ellis. It's about telling difficult stories. And what the authors assert is that a teller needs to establish three basic principles with an audience in order to be prepared to tell a difficult narrative. And those three are trust, permission, and ownership. It's a tough question, but how do you give yourself permission to write or tell these intimate, very disclosing stories to a pedestrian audience, really a group of strangers?
Well, I think I reached a point in my life where I had no choice, that I felt like I was busting at the seams. And part of the way I was handling pain I was in was putting my thoughts and feelings on paper. And I think that I love the quote by Joseph Campbell that says, find a place inside where there's joy and it will burn out the pain. And I feel a lot of joy writing. It's hard, but I feel a lot of pleasure. And it's one of those times when I'm writing that I get lost in the moment and the rest of the world falls away. And that feels good.
Yeah, you had mentioned to me a little earlier before the show that that writing to you is somewhat healing. And we've had several people on this program who have talked about writing, especially in the context of a journal or diary, that gives them a chance to get rid of all of these debilitating emotions so they can move on with the rest of the day. How does this structured writing give you the same sort of outcome? How is it healing?
Well, I am able to tell my truth and my story, and I think every single one of us has a story. And I love analogies, I love metaphors, so the one I'll use here is the way that little plants, when you pour concrete or you build a wall, inevitably plants find a way to push through the concrete and to grow and create a crack. And that's what story writing or just writing my feelings, my truth, is for me. It is the truth spilling out, and I think part of it came out of lots of skeletons in the family closet beating the doors down. Mm-hmm. And I writing was my way of expressing and dealing with those skeletons as they came tumbling out.
Very well put. Very, very well put. And, you know, you mentioned Joseph Campbell and his some of his quotes are so incredibly helpful in understanding not just storytelling but also how humans communicate with themselves, that intrapersonal self. For example, he once wrote that a myth is a public dream and a dream is a private myth. To him, there really is no difference between real human narratives, like the wonderful things that you're sharing with us today, and the folk tales and the myths that we read to our children. The only difference is the characters, right?
That makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, after all, you take a look at stories like Hansel and Gretel. We've all seen homes, we've all seen woods, we've seen mean women, and as a result, we've got Hansel and Gretel, and that's why kids are scared. Mm-hmm. The whole notion is that the myth, the fairy tale, the fantasy, really aren't a whole lot different than the kind of narratives that we write each and every day. As a matter of fact, they really complement each other in other ways. I have learned from tellers who carve their stories with ruthless candor that they need to construct a number of things in order to deal with their human detours and foibles, and they test the boundaries of the human heart. And I think that that particular story, your first story, really did test the boundary of the human heart. I think it takes a lot of courage to write that and to certainly tell that.
Thank you.
And I know that you're primarily a writer, but what do you think about telling stories? How does that differ from writing them?
Well, it's fun. It is very different. And part of the, I guess, the pleasure or the, oh, I don't know what the word would be, the extravagance of sitting down and writing is the alone with the computer and no one listening at that time. You have the luxury of editing and working on it and sharing it and re-editing. But telling is fun to be in this very current moment and just have this experience of sharing this with you and the listeners.
Yeah.
And one little thing I'd love to add to your story about the myth. The Hansel and Gretel reference, we've all known our big bad wolves and our witches in our lives, and that's where part of these truths come from.
Very much so. Very, very good point. And, of course, Hansel and Gretel, even though it's a fairy tale, fairy tales and myths are so very similar. We used to turn to myths in order to explain the inexplicable. Right?
Absolutely.
I mean, that's what the Greeks did so very, very well. Yeah, and, you know, telling a story, I just wanted to kind of punctuate the point, is in so many ways harder than writing because
Absolutely.
You can't edit it. You know, as I was saying to you when we were having coffee before the show, you tell a story, you can't go back. You just, you know, you can't tell a story that's 4 minutes long and after 2 minutes say, you know what, let me do that again, folks, because I didn't like the way I shared it, right? It just doesn't work that way. And all of those are very abstract concepts, but we're going to get away from the abstract in just a moment, and we're going to go to Laura, who's going to give us all the specifics with weather and traffic.
Thank you. This is Pacifica Radio, KPFT Houston. The time is 9:45, and here is a quick look at traffic and weather. The accidents mentioned earlier have all been cleared. There is still some slow traffic on the 610 West Loop, southbound from I-10 Katy Freeway to Westheimer. The average speed there is 37. And there's a little bit of slow traffic on 59 East Tex Freeway, southbound from Quitman to 45. Otherwise, traffic looks pretty good right now. The temperature is 76 degrees. Skies are overcast. Humidity is 77%. And today will be partly sunny with a high of 86 and a low of 69 degrees. Air quality is in the good range. Please stay tuned after the community spotlight for the 420 Drug War News, followed by Undercurrents at 10 o'clock and then Wide Open Spaces at 11 o'clock. And now back to the community spotlight. Today's program is Story Time with Hank Rubicek and his guest Susan Blair. And the theme is Being Peeled Away, a Story of Human Vulnerability.
Thank you, Laurie. You talk about the air quality as we all sit here coughing and sneezing and, you know, dropping dead. Yeah, the air quality is great. In the meantime, where are all these allergens coming from? A story of human vulnerability on KPFT Story Time with artistically ambidextrous teller. I think she's artistically ambidextrous. I mean, she does all the art. What else would she be? Susan Blair. Susan, you've got two short, very poignant stories that I think complement your earlier story. The first one is entitled 15 Minutes, which is fascinating because it's a very short story, right? So it doesn't take 15 minutes. And I want you to talk to us a little bit about the title after you're done with the story.
All right. All of the conversations that I have had with my nearly deaf stepfather over the telephone during the last 4 years have ended with me saying, "Die." He thought I was saying bye, and he always replied in kind. Within 15 minutes of arriving home to help, I had imagined 10 different ways of killing him. Why is it that a person bites the hand that feeds them? Literally, in this case, the feeding part, not the biting. And there are so many ways to bite that hand. He usually bites mine with his words. They're sharp like teeth, and they leave a mark on my heart. Sometimes they break the skin, and I bleed. Slowly, thickly, and my tears tumble backwards into my throat. No one sees. My mother turns her head as if not seeing means it never happened. The wine I drink cauterizes temporarily, and my heart will clot with my mother's denial soon enough. I am able to heat another meal, prepare another tray, and carry it into him. But I pretend it will be his last. I imagine I've dropped an undetectable portion of slow and painful potion in his soup, and I fantasize about standing on his oxygen tubing for a long time, for just long enough. Then I place the tray on his lap, smile with borrowed compassion, and pray again for the oomph to forgive.
I think we're all pretty stunned. That was a fabulous story, and it was a story that required an enormous amount of courage. What gave you the courage to share that?
I'm determined to grow and heal, and I guess I'm jumping ahead here, but the idea of happily ever after, and I'm determined to live happily ever after. And that doesn't mean the negative and positive won't exist together, but I am committed to a healing path in my life.
Well, you know our sign-off, happily ever after. Now I know why you like that
yes,
so much.
Yes, I do.
Yeah. Susan, that was a magnificent story. Such courage. You know, disclosure is allowing authenticity to really enter our social relationships, and I think that's what you did perfectly. Your second story, which is entitled Dead Gray Number 9, is equally as intriguing. Share that one with us.
All right. I once sat by a woman on a plane whose daughter was dying. She cried, and I showed compassion, and I even prayed with her. I hold myself together now with chewing gum and beige concealer number 4, Estee Lauder. Tears make little beach-colored valleys on my face. Outside the window, Estee Lauder Dead Gray number 9 passes under the airplane's wheels. I wanted a father when I was 4. I wanted one when I was 10. And every moment of every day after that. And I want one today. We take off and the plane's shadow flies away from us. I want to follow it and catch it. I want to go back after it and ask questions, laugh with it, hold it. No, wait, I say to the shadow, and the woman across the aisle looks at me kind of funny. And I quickly remember that I can't go back. I've tried over and over and over again. A college dancer friend of mine once said to me as she threw herself on my bedroom, dorm room bed for emphasis, she said, I've been strong too long. I whisper that to myself now. I am not strong. I cry beige rivers. I watch the shadow disappear. It's flown off south somewhere, I think. I can barely see the ground. But I calm my tears. And people stop staring at me. And I wonder, who else on this plane is in this much pain?
Susan, I want to ask you about the connection between those two. I just have to do a couple of announcements. But I want you to think about this, because these two stories, well, they're wonderful. We're going to talk about them in just a moment. I'm Hank Rubicek, and you're enjoying Storyteller. Susan Blair, in part narratives about human vulnerability on Storytime on KPFT's Open Journal. If you love stories, and I know you do, you need to come to the Houston Storytellers Guild Story Swap, held the third Tuesday of every month at 7 o'clock p.m. at St. Andrew's House, which is next to their church, at 1811 Heights Boulevard, and learn to tell and listen to stories with really the nicest people around. I'm the proud president of the Guild, and I know it's the place to be if you want to learn about storytelling. And check out our website at HoustonStorytellers.org for events, meeting updates, and more. Susan, let's get back to those two stories, as I promised. Talk a little bit about the connection between those two, please.
Well, as a child, my father was killed in a plane crash. He was a photographer taking aerial photographs in the county. And as you can tell from the story, I grew up with a stepfather.
Yeah.
So there is a connection of having felt that hole of not having a father and then having a difficult stepfather. And again, these stories came out of, I love the Brené Brown quote, maybe stories are just data with a soul, because these stories are true. Obviously not the fairy ones, although I do probably talk to fairies, but the last two stories are data expressed with my feelings.
Yeah.
And you probably think of me as a Brené Brown follower, but
No. I think of you as extraordinarily strong.
Well, I'd like to share one thing she says that that allows me to tell these stories. She talks about vulnerability is the core of fear and shame, and that usually comes out of loss or trauma. But this is the part I love that she says. It is also the birthplace of joy, of creativity, of belonging, and of love.
Wow.
So that's that place of vulnerability is why these stories, why I tell these stories.
Yeah. Unbelievable. It really is. You know, putting cotton in our ears or physically holding our tongues will not make difficult times in our lives go away. Whether they reveal or conceal things about ourselves, it's really beneficial to tell difficult stories. And these are soul-filled narratives. I think you said that a little earlier. Data with Soul. Tell us about the very quickly the two books that you're working on right now.
Working on a book about my family.
Mm-hmm.
And my husband hates this description, but it's accurate, so I'll use it. I'm changing the names to protect the guilty.
There you go.
And the caricaturizing, using a lot of humor, expressing what I feel. If all my siblings wrote a book, it would be a lot of different books.
Yeah.
But I think it's important for each of us to tell our story. Second book, a children's book about a little girl named Sally Sugarfoot,
mm-hmm.
who has grown up with mixed messages and is struggling to, it's her struggle to recover the belief in herself.
Wonderful. You know, and again, you are an amazing writer and you are a superb storyteller. And you need to know that. And I want to thank you, Susan Blair, for your own strength and your personal insight, because it was well worth it, and there isn't anyone I can think of who could have handled this theme more effectively than you. I am Dr. Hank Rubicek, reminding all of you that it's never too late to live happily ever after. I want all of you to have a safe and peaceful weekend, and we'll listen in next month.
You have been listening to Open Journal, KPFT's experiment in community-inspired radio.